Well, we're back to back into the teaching series this week after video testimony last week, and we're on lesson, I think it's 15 in our 25 lesson series. You've got the handout either on your seat, under yourself, under your own seat if you're sitting on it, or next to you. You may want to grab that. That'll have an area for you to take notes tonight and also fill-ins if you want to follow along. Play along with the audience participation portion of the program, which is you writing. We've got pens in the back, or usually Scott's popping around with those. And so the lesson tonight is titled Victory, and I mentioned in my first introduction being victorious over my addiction to alcohol, and you hear that phraseology around here quite a bit in CR, victorious over. And so we just want to spend a little time this evening kind of talking about that concept of what is victory in recovery, in the recovery world. Because as we, if you are at all familiar with Jesus's life and the radicalness with which he lived it, when we look at it from our human perspective, and we look at it in the time that he was on the planet sharing himself with us, he did things that were different, turned things on their head, so to speak. And so this idea of victory in recovery is another thing that's a little bit different than what the world kind of teaches us or what we're familiar with when we look at the word victory in the world. And that is typically, you know, overcoming and conquering or being a winner or something like that. And that is at the root of victory and recovery as well, that we've overcome some hurts, some habits, some hang-ups, as we call them in CR, some parts of life, some compulsive behavior, addictions, attitudes, you know, all of that. But it's more than winning, because a lot of times victory, if we look at the victory in a sporting event, that tends to be the whoever comes out on top, and that then the game is over, and then the victory is declared. Where victory and recovery is a little bit different, because there's no end to the game, so to speak. And so, other than, I guess, when you hit heaven and you are made perfect, and therefore, I don't think there's a CR in heaven. I'm guessing there's probably not, because there's no need for that. But every place else, there's CR. So that's what we want to take a look at, is kind of that idea of victory in recovery. And when you look at, especially tonight's lesson, or you look at the CR curriculum, you look at the steps, you look at the principles, you see words like surrender and submit and humble and turn over. And once again, none of those things tend to come to mind when we take a look at the worldly definition of victory. If you turn over, if you submit, if you are humble, if you surrender, how does that equal victory? And so sometimes that can be confusing to us as we begin our recovery walk, or in the middle of our recovery walk, and especially our walk with faith, because Jesus asked us to do the same thing, to submit to his ways, to his view, to be humble, to turn our lives over, to give it away, instead of, you know, holding on to it. And so victory kind of goes hand in hand with that. So victory and recovery is not an end point. It's a daily way of looking at and living life, okay? So it's not you're finished, you're done, you're completed, you get the diploma, you get the trophy. It simply means it's an active process that you're going through each day and having various victories. And so let's kind of take a little deeper look at victory and recovery. And we start with principle five is where we're in on as far as our principle progression here. Principle five says to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. Okay? And there's a lot that's in that. If you really think about that, I was at a meeting recently, and a brother in CR was talking about this being, you know, one of the hardest principles in his life, because he, like me, actually likes some of his character defects, you see. And so to voluntarily submit and to ask humbly, remove this even though I know I like it, okay, or I want it, or it's tempting, or is it really that bad, or is it just kind of a little thing I do? Really, God? Yeah, All of those character defects. Scripture, the beatitude that goes with that principle, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires, because that's what God is asking us to do, is not look at the gray area, not look at the white lies or what can we get away with, but purifying our heart as much as we can while we're here on the planet before he does it, finishes the job completely in the beyond. And in step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So we're going to ask him to remove them, and then we're going to get our heart in the place where we're ready to say, okay, I really mean it. I don't know about you. I know in for many years as a guy addicted to alcohol, I wanted in my head to quit drinking. I didn't want it in my heart, though. I there were still some parts of the drinking lifestyle that I wanted to hang on to. And I thought I could hang on to those and still not be under the influence of alcohol, whatever that, you know, means. And so step six is staying, not only are in step five are we saying we're willing to, in step six we're ready. You know, we mean it at the heart level. So it's going from head to heart. So both step five and six play into this lesson. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. So two steps, one principle in this lesson. Scripture that we have that goes with step six from James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And for step seven, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. So already in the steps and in the principle, we have submit, we have humble, we have humbly again, remove defects of character, shortcomings, all these things that we don't necessarily tie into this idea of victory. So let's get into our acrostic tonight. You've got the handout, so we'll go through each of the letters. Each of the letters is going to represent a thought or an idea, and we'll just kind of flesh that out. So the V in victory stands for voluntarily submit. Voluntarily submit. And that idea of submitting our way to victory, once again, the world would say that doesn't make sense. If you submit, you lose. You need to overcome. You need to overpower. If you humble yourselves, you lose type thing. And yet in recovery and in our walk with Christ, that submission to the process. And this is something that especially newcomers, and I know myself, when I came into this, I came in with my set of rules, how I was going to work, celebrate recovery. And I kept hearing the cliches, and I kept hearing the phrases, and I kept hearing the things that keep coming back, and all that type of stuff. And I said, well, that's fine for you, Rubes, but I'm going to do the Jack CR plan. And that's one of the reasons it probably kept me from God for so many years, because I was going to do some version of my own religion. I was going to be my own God, and that got me quite a ways in life. Until I submitted to the process. And I didn't even have to believe in it at the heart level sometimes. Sometimes it was just saying, okay, my sponsor is saying this, the program says this, the lesson is saying this, somebody that's farther down the path than me says this. I haven't been able to put together 30 days of sobriety. This person's put together 3 years. Perhaps there's something of value in what they're asking me to submit to, you know, that idea. And guys in my small group hear me say it all the time. I'll have these, you know, it might be 3 years into my recovery or 4 years or 5 years or now 9+ years. And all of a sudden, one of those cliches will all of a sudden move from here to here and I'll get it. But it doesn't happen if I just come in a couple of nights, a couple of weeks, you know, and take it off. So voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in our life. We looked at Romans 12:1 for a little scriptural background on this. This says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. And so voluntarily submitting is how we open ourselves up to be transformed. Many times, I tried to behavior modify. I tried to conform, not be transformed. I'm not sure if I can transform myself. I think that only God can do transformation, at least in my life. I can change my mind. I can have a different perspective on something. I can behavior modify for a period of time, but it's all usually up here in the head part. God hits the heart And that's where the transformation, I think really occurs. So when you look at the principle that we looked at, to voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make in my life, every little voice that you get from God, everything you're hearing from God, when you're just going, I don't know if I should, can I do that? And we start getting overwhelmed. And so realize that God can handle that. We may be overwhelmed, but he's not. Okay? Every change. And you start thinking, well, I've got way too much stuff to fix here. And I'm not asking you to fix anything. I'm asking you to submit to God to let him transform. Okay? Humbly asking him to remove your shortcomings. That's your part. God does the heavy lifting. God is the one that changed somehow, I don't know how, this 20 plus year alcoholic who craved alcohol every moment of his waking time and removed that. And I tried to do it myself for many, many, many years, many different times. I don't know how to explain that. It couldn't have been me, because I'd tried that. So it had to be God. Okay? So he will do the hard work as soon as we choose to submit. So voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make. All right, the I. Identify your character defects. Okay, so once we're willing to change, then we have to say, we have to kind of get real, and we do this in a number of different ways in CR, but identifying our defects of character. What specifically are we asking God to change? We do this in our inventory with our sponsor. We do this in our daily inventory as far as ongoing. We seek this from those that know us and love us, okay? I want you to take risks in your recovery. I want you to build an accountability team so you can have people that can speak truth to you with love. I don't want you to make yourself vulnerable to people that don't have your best intentions or your best heart in mind, okay? So we're not after people that are criticizing you or insulting you because it gets them something. We're asking people that are walking with you and here to support, but also there to speak truth into your lives, because we need that. We all have blind spots. And we also have those, I don't know what I would call them. There's a spot where I'm not blind because I know I'm doing it wrong. I just choose not to acknowledge it. Ignorant spots, pride spots, I don't know what you want to call it. But I've got those things. And those people that love me and care for me and know me, and that's the other component, is you need to get to know people. That's one of the reasons we break into small group, and we want to encourage you to be transparent in those small groups so people get to know you more. And get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. It's just that idea. If you just start walking down the street tomorrow, and every person that you encounter that you don't know, if your first question that pops into your head is, I wonder what their story is. See how that kind of changes how you proceed in your day, how you proceed with thoughts about them, because we all have that. So what is that story? So getting to know people, because then they can speak that truth with love into you. So surround yourself with those folks, and make sure you know what your character defects are, and make sure you have people that you trust that can give you both the ones you know. So as an alcoholic, I knew I had a problem with alcohol. That was something I didn't really need too many people to tell me about. But all of the wreckage or the side effects from that addiction, things like my off-the-charts pride, things like my off-the-charts selfishness, my off-the-charts level of judgment and judging others, that got revealed more as I got more vulnerable and started surrounding myself with accountability folks who just gently, got me to laugh at myself as I would immediately start off with a judgment, you know, in a description, let's say, of somebody instead of talking about their humanity. So spouses, significant others, partners, sponsors, small group brothers and sisters, these are all folks that can help you identify character defects. And I always have to say, when I talk about accountability partners, I stress a lot of times, and I really encourage you to do this, ask to be held to account. So pick your accountability partners, or accept the invitation if someone that you may have not thought of as being an accountability partner comes up to you and asks, would you allow me to hold you accountable? And it can be a reciprocal relationship, or it can be a one-way street, whatever you guys decide. But please ask that of someone, because I think you're going to be more receptive to that input if you've initiated that instead of somebody just coming. We get enough of that in our lives. We have bosses, we have spouses, we have kids, we have strangers on the street that want to tell us this, that, and the other thing. If you're on social media, which I'm not, I hear there's a bunch of people out there that want to tell you you suck. And so we get enough of that. So you need to find some folks that that you ask, would you please tell me when I suck? Okay, that type of thing. Okay, so find some accountability partners. Let's go on to the next letter, C in victory. C is for change your mind. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So as we are transformed, our hearts and our minds are changed. So, but we need to move away from the conform and seek God to let him transform us. So notice the scripture doesn't say change your mind. It says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world wants to change our mind by exerting external pressure, okay? The Spirit transforms us internally when we seek God. So just kind of looking at this. It's kind of like what the difference between, at least my definition, of religion and faith. Okay, religion wants to put a lot of outside constraints on, let's say, your behavior, how you look, how you talk, who you know, where you go, all that type of stuff. Faith in Christ says, I'm going to take Jesus in and let Jesus transform me, and then I'm going to reflect out more of him. Okay, and so that's why I am anti-religion, but very much a follower of Christ and have faith in Christ. As a follower of Christ, you're a new creation. Remember that. You know, think about that. And that sometimes is hard on those bad days, or when you engage in old behaviors. There's not a week, at least, maybe not even a day that goes by that I just go, why am I still doing these things? Why am I still having these thoughts? You know, and it's typically because I'm on my timeline. I'm supposed to be fixed by now. I was supposed to be fixed last week. God was supposed to fix me 2 years ago. And he's just going, I'm working on it. Just keep going. As I look back over my 9 or so years in this program, I see that transformation. I see that change. But, in the day I get kind of, pigeonholed. But realizing I am a new creation. So, as I say, act like it. Act like you are new. Act like you have been baptized into Jesus' crucifixion, as it talks about in Romans. And that's working. That's working the program. One of the common phraseologies in the alcohol world is being a dry drunk. And you can be a dry drunk even if you're not an alcoholic. You can be a dry drunk if you struggle with codependency. You can be a dry drunk if you struggle with anger or pornography. Basically what it is you are deciding to conform or to fix yourself or behavior modify without taking it into the heart. And that can be a very frustrating and painful experience as you're just trying to act the right way, as you're trying to fix, to not do, okay? To change your mind or to be transformed is where you're not trying hard to not do. You instead focus on what God has for you. But what are the fruits of the Spirit is one of the great places to look in Scripture. But look at your identity in Christ. And if you just, I don't have a listing here, but if you just Google that, what is my identity in Christ, so you'll bring up a litany of Scriptures that talks about who you are, really are, as a believer. Even though you're walking around in this mortal body doing these, dumb things if you're like me, but who you are, who your true identity is, and get in touch with that and believe that and take that into your heart because that will transform you, okay? One way of transformation is to read God's word. Another way is to transform is found in the next letter in the victory lesson, and that's the T. I know how to spell. Turn over your character defects. T. Turn over your character defects. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So once again, you need to turn over, because he has the power to protect you from the evil one. He has the power to lift you up like no other. Only if you turn those things over to him. Whether it's secular recovery or faith-based, Christ-centered recovery, that concept of turning over to a higher power, to, in this case, Jesus Christ in Celebrate Recovery, is integral to both, okay? And, you know, it takes us back to the V, voluntarily submit, you know, that turning over. Now, notice the T does not stand for take control of my character defect. I tried to do that for many years. I tried to control my drinking. That was my recovery program. Just, okay, only this much liquor, only on this many days, or only this time of day, okay? All these things. Or I'll just not drive tonight, so therefore, whatever. So it doesn't talk about taking control of your character. It's not about trying harder to be who you want to be. It's about turning yourself over to God so you can be transformed in who you were created to be and transformed into who you really already are in God's eyes because of what Christ did for us. So when we look at the victory acrostic, the V-I-C-T, which we've just talked about, I kind of look at that as God's part, okay? He's going to transform. He's going to renew your mind. He's going to determine your steps, and he's going to strengthen and protect you. This is always the partnership as we have our faith walk, is what is God's part, what is my part? And I look at the kind of O-R-Y, so the next three letters we'll look at is what is our part. And so let's get into that. So the O is we need to be focused on one day at a time. That's another one of those cliches. When I came through the door, I said, yeah, whatever. I can't make the clock go faster, so of course I'm going to live one day at a time, okay? Not really taking it into the heart of what does that mean, one day at a time, one moment at a time, as we say in the Serenity Prayer. So today I've got, let's see, as I stand before you, about 3,001 days at a time in recovery. That's how I've been able to go from being able to get 2 hours sober for a vast majority of my life to now putting together a little over 9 years, one day at a time. And I always talk about, I'm always in that mode of, if I stay sober today, meaning today, tonight, then I get another day. But right now, I'm sober, and we'll deal with what happens tomorrow. Okay, so I'm just going to worry about today. Scripture we have with one day at a time. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time is the verbiage from the Living Bible. So our part is staying in the present. Our part is not getting ahead of me. I would do that thing in the old days, and I've heard it even, you know, here in CR, when we talk about not drinking, not going to drink again. And a lot of times when we walk in the doors, the first time been an ultimatum given, we've just crashed and burned miserably, and so there's no way we're ever going to, in my case, drink again. Or I'm never ever going to look at that stuff on the internet again. That was bad. I'm never ever going to blow up at my kids the way I did. I'm never ever going to physically assault, you know, whatever, because that was just bad as I sit here, away from the moment. And then all of a sudden we start thinking about, I'm never going to do that again. We start thinking about, really? I'm never, ever? Well, what about raising my voice a little bit? What about watching just this or that? Or what about having a drink at a wedding? Okay, come on, that's good. All those things are clouding us and we're getting into the future. I've had guys sit in small groups saying, oh man, I've just screwed up. I'm here, but man, my two-year-old new son, I'm going to miss out on having that first beer with him when he turns 21. You're worried about 21, he's 2. Okay? You are probably not on the road to recovery. Okay? You're on the road to relapse. So one day at a time. Living in the moment, that's our part. God takes care of the victory. So one moment at a time, one victory at a time. And that's a great way to keep yourself in check as well, because many times we will get down on ourselves. I do it on myself, thinking I'm not making any progress. I'm not moving fast enough. I'm not changing enough, God. And then I just have to look back at all these little victories along the way and how different I am. So that's one of the other reasons we look at one day at a time. The R in victory: recovery is a process. You're a work in progress. Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure that God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. So it's talking about a progress, not perfection here. Progress is my part. Perfection is God's part. I don't have to worry about being perfect. I have to worry about submitting. I have to worry about taking it one day at a time. I have to worry about doing the things that I can do, let God do the heavy lifting. God will take care of the perfection part. So I need to submit to the process of recovery. So I need to be here on Wednesday nights. I need to be here maybe early sometimes and hit dinner and do some fellowship. I need to stay afterwards and mingle a little bit, okay? I need to attend small group on a regular basis, and I need to participate. Okay, there may be some nights where I'm just tapped. I don't have anything to say. I'm getting more from listening. I get that. But in general, I need to, you know, participate in the process. I need to find a sponsor. I need to ask people to hold me to account. I need to volunteer to serve others in whatever small capacity that might be. I talked about greeting earlier tonight. If you can sit out there and hand somebody a Sharpie, you too can be a greeter. Okay? You can give something to somebody else. You can get out of yourself for just a second and, you know, talk to somebody that's maybe new coming in the door, or even talk to somebody that's old. You know, you've seen them all the time come in the door and just kind of check in with their life. You know, get out of yourself. So it's recovery is a process. I like how C.S. Lewis puts this in Mere Christianity. He says, I will, this is C.S. Lewis writing about kind of Jesus saying this. He says, I will never let you rest until you are literally perfect, is what Jesus says. Until my Father can say without reservation that he is well pleased with you. As he said that, he was well pleased with me. This I can do and I will do, but I will not do anything less. And yet, this is the other equally important, so this is now C.S. Lewis writing him, and yet this is now the other equally important side of it. This helper, who he refers to Jesus, who will in the long run be satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection, this helper, Jesus, will also be delighted with the first feeble, stumbling efforts that you make starting tonight, starting tomorrow, whenever it is, okay? So he's going to take care of the perfection eventually, but he's overjoyed at the progress along the way. He's overjoyed at that one day at a time piece, okay? I was fortunate, and I say this in a weird way, fortunate to not grow up in a Christian house. So I'd missed out on a lot of God. But I also missed out on getting a mindset where I had to be a certain way before I could approach God. I went to God broken and as a last resort. Because that's what atheists do. You see, they go to God as a last resort. And that was me. So I didn't have to worry about getting myself tidied up. That's what God's there for if I really get him. And he is. But he's not going to let me stay there. That's not his deal. All right, finally, the why in victory. You must choose to change. How do we choose to change? Well, let's take a look at the scripture that we've got that goes with it, James 4:6-8. God gives strength to the humble, so give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. So how do we change? How do we choose to change? Well, we give. We give of ourselves. We give ourselves to God. We give of ourselves to others. We resist the enemy. We resist being conformed by the world. So we keep our connection with Jesus. We draw close to God. We do that through prayer. We do that through reading his word. We do that through community with other believers. We've been given free will by our Heavenly Father. And so we get to choose whether or not we change. We get to choose whether or not we turn over. We get to choose whether or not we follow. But also remember that true change, true transformation is not about trying harder. It's not about applying more external pressure. Okay? Choosing to change means you make the decision to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and release His power to transform you within. And so, just to kind of summarize, victory in recovery is not an end point. It's a process. Victory in recovery is a daily process of submitting to God's will to remove our character defects or to have Him transform them into qualities that can give us character. So going through suffering and hardship, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Victory in recovery is allowing God to transform the way we think and feel by changing our minds and our hearts. Victory in recovery happens one day at a time, one moment at a time, over a period of time, all the time. It's a lot of time there, okay? One day at a time, one moment at a time, over a period of time, all the time, okay? So while it's one day at a time, that one moment at a time, really moment to moment. Victory and recovery means letting God take care of the perfection while we take care of the progress. And I guess I'll leave you with, remember that the ultimate victory has already occurred. Jesus has indeed overcome this world. And we as followers get to walk in that victory with Him if we just acknowledge that, if we just realize that, if we just choose to. Okay? All right, that's all I've got tonight in the lesson. So I hope you got something from that, just as far as what we kind of talk about when we talk about having victory over. It doesn't mean we're done with it, we're moving on. It means we're just engaged in the day-to-day battle of whatever it is that we're choosing to have victory in.